Today we're going to talk about, continue with our social media sermon series, and this week we're going to talk about Twitter. Okay. So before we talk about Twitter, though, I want to talk about Billy Joel. Okay. So there's a song, my dad is a big Elton John fan. Now that was his favorite artist from growing up. And he had all the Elton John records and stuff. And being the typical rebellious kid, I had to have somebody different. And so I went super far in a different direction to Billy Joel, right? You know, another guy that plays the piano and, you know, sings about experiences and things like that, right? So I really didn't go all that far. But anyway, I really like Billy Joel's music. And one of the one of his songs is called Big Shot. Now, if you're familiar with the song, he talks about how it's kind of his... autobiographical song about his struggles with drinking, right? He's had a long documented history of alcoholism and things like that. And the song, though it has a nice beat and is upbeat and all this kind of stuff, it's actually about how whenever he gets a few drinks in him, he suddenly has to be the center of attention and everything, right? It says, you know, you had to be a big shot. You had to open up your mouth. You had to prove it to the crowd and show everybody that you know what everything's about, right? And I was thinking about how, for some people, right, there's a saying called in vino veritas, and that is that in wine there is truth. And the idea is sometimes if you get something in you, you may be saying things that you think but would normally keep to yourself, right? That's not the issue for everyone, right? Not everybody has those same issues. However, I think that what we have with something like Twitter is we have an opportunity for all of us to be that guy on the bar stool, right? That guy who comes in, like everybody, even if you don't ever go to a bar, right, you maybe watch Cheers back in the day, right? Maybe you're a Norm or a Cliff or somebody like that, right, who comes in and has to pontificate on all of the day's issues, right? Solving the world's problems from the bar stool. And for a long time, that was limited to certain places, right? You would hear somebody's manifesto on life when you went to the bar, when you went to the restaurant and they got a couple of beers or a margarita, or Thanksgiving, right? This time of year is a time when a whole lot of people get a whole lot of nervousness and anxiety because they're going home to see family. And what happens when family all gets together? They argue and fight, right? Because there's that nephew who is young and idealistic and has this political persuasion, and then there's the uncle, right? The uncle who's on the other end of the spectrum, right? And they're going to be throwing mashed potatoes at each other before the end of the meal, right? And you're worried that family bonds will be torn asunder over the Thanksgiving dinner, right? And it used to be that you didn't hear from that person until you went to that meal, right? Or at least when you heard from them, it was just, hey, how you doing? It wasn't every single thought they ever had, right? Well, now, on our wonderful handy-dandy cell phones, we have this thing called Twitter. And Twitter, based on its name, right, it's like birds, right? When birds start tweeting, one starts talking, what happens? All the other birds around start hollering, right? And pretty soon it's, right? And it's the same way with Twitter. The birds just start hollering about nothing. Or maybe there was a bug, or somebody looked at them funny, right? We don't really know what they're saying, but they're making a whole bunch of noise. And it's the same way with Twitter. You see, all you got to do is push a button on your phone, and then there's this little place where you can talk in 120 or 240 or however many characters yours allows you to say. You can type whatever it is you want to say. And that could be deeply profound and wise statements. But do you think it's usually deeply profound and wise statements? No, it's junk, right? At its best, really, I think, at its best, Twitter tends to be something like, hey, let's remember to honor somebody, right? At its most innocuous use, it's, hey, look, here's a picture of my cat. Nothing wrong with that. That's good, okay? But at its worst, it's an opportunity for every bully, every uncle from Thanksgiving, every guy who gets on the bar stool with a couple of drinks to shout out their opinions, and oftentimes kind of hurtful opinions, to not just the people in the bar, but to everybody, right? Anybody who has one of these phones. And so where the damage could have been contained to a relatively small area in the past for some of the, let's be honest, dumb things we say sometimes, right? Now that that damage can spread far and wide. And we've seen it happen with famous people, right? Famous people get in trouble for saying something dumb in a tweet all the time, right? Now, this is one of the easiest scandals to avoid in the world. You just don't say something dumb on Twitter, right? When you get onto it, think, do I need to talk and use a racial slur? Probably not, right? Would I say this as one of my previous sermons? Would I say this in front of Granny Drum? No, I don't need to put it on Twitter, right? But yet, we do it all the time because we're convinced somehow, because we have these neat little boxes, that everybody needs to hear our every thought, right? And really, if we're honest with ourselves, a lot of our thoughts need to stay in here, right? And not to say that we need to shut up or that no, we should never voice our opinions and things like that, but that there is a filter between this, right? This doesn't come out all the time for a reason. Because sometimes we think things before we should say them, right? And when we keep that filter up, then it protects us from a whole lot of stuff, right? One, it protects us from hurting people around us, saying something just off the spur of the moment, right? It also protects us from maybe getting a punch in the nose for saying the wrong thing to the wrong person, right? Which, remember, that was a check and balance for the guy on the bar stool. If he too loudly says the wrong thing about the wrong person, what's going to happen? He's going to not be able to talk for a couple weeks, right? That doesn't happen on our computers, right? We can get on here and say all kinds of awful stuff and think, well, nobody can do anything to me, right? Now, that's not healthy, is it, right? It's not a positive thing. And so in the midst of that, I want to go to our scripture. Our scripture comes from James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. And that's James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourself of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Now, this is short. And I chose a short one because I'm pretty sure this would fit in a tweet, okay? One of the biggest challenges of Twitter, there's two big challenges on Twitter. So anybody on here actually use Twitter? Okay, one of the biggest challenges on Twitter, there's two things. One is the character limit, because everybody wants to always say a whole lot, right? And so when you're trying to fit everything in, there's some people who say, well, you know what? I'm just going to do my manifesto anyway, and I'm just going to do a 30 tweet thread, right? And it stops in the middle of a word, and they start on the next one. That's a challenge. The other challenge on Twitter is once you say something, you can't get it back. Okay, so you misspell something, and then there's 300 tweets reminding you that you don't know how to spell and how dumb you are, right? Or if you say something that was ill-considered, and you're like, oh, man, I shouldn't have said that. Too late. It's already out in cyberspace, and you can't bring it back. You can't edit it. You can't take it back. And those two challenges, I think, though, are actually strengths of the platform. Because, think about this, isn't that how our real lives work? Amen. How many times have you said something and immediately as it leaves your mouth, you're like, God, I wish I could have bit my tongue on that one, right? Why did I say that? That was mean. That was cruel. That was foolish. That just makes me sound stupid, whatever, right? I do it all the time and I'm like, oh, man. And the thing is that Twitter gives us this opportunity to experience the glories of saying dumb things for everybody to hear. But the problem here, like, think about what James is saying, right? He's talking to a church that is trying to the tribes in the dispersion, as he says, right? Okay, to the church, the people of God all over, You know, they're not in any one place. How do you live together in these diverse locations? How do you handle your IP address on your computer? How do you handle when somebody says something to you that's cruel and you just want to lash right out at them? How do you handle that? Understand this. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Now, my mom used to teach music for middle schools. And one of the songs she would teach the kids went like this. A wise old owl lived in an oak. The more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why aren't we all like that wise old bird? Right? Something like that. It might be more like that wise old bird. But the owl is a good example for us when we're kids, right? Listening before we talk. And that is one of my biggest challenges. Because honestly, what I find myself doing, let's talk about Thanksgiving. It's coming up. I'll just make you more anxious about it. What I tend to do when the family gets together, and I know the ones who are going to say something that's going to make me mad, right, is I'm listening so I can be like, aha, you said this and you're wrong, right? Now, is that really listening to the person, or is that listening to speak? I think oftentimes we listen to speak. And the reason I think we listen to speak is deep down we think that what we have to say is more important than what somebody else has to say. Now that doesn't mean that we might not be right, okay? Right? The person who gets on Twitter and says horrible things about a group of people and thinks there's no, you know, consequence for it, that person is wrong, right? Regardless of what group of people it is. And so, you know, there's a school of thought that says, hey, maybe that person should be opposed. But there's better things to do than simply to go off guns blazing, you know, shooting people down with how cruel can I be, right? What can I, there's a little, for those of you who aren't familiar, there's a little bitty circle, little picture right beside each tweet. And on it usually is a picture of somebody's face. And so a really quick thing that most people do when somebody says something they disagree with, what do you think they do? Huh? They look at that picture and they start making fun of how they look. Right? Ah, I'd expect somebody that looks like that. You know, nice hair. Ah, maybe you need to lose the weight. You know, that kind of stuff. They'll say awful things about the person. Now, does that have anything to do with the conversation? No, right? Any more than if you were at, say, a political debate in person, and they're talking about tax policy, da-da-da-da-da, and one of them says, I think we should reduce taxes, and another one says, I think we should raise them, da-da-da, and instead the response is, oh, yeah, well, you're ugly. What does that have to do with anything, right? It doesn't, but yet that's how we handle things, isn't it? And Michelle, you wouldn't let that happen in your kindergarten class, would you? No. But we're grown. We should know better than that. And yet, we do it, right? You can't listen to that guy. Look at his stupid face, right? This type of attitude is emboldened by the fact that we feel like there's nobody going to get us for it, right? Nobody's going to sock us in the nose for saying the wrong thing. Because we have a certain amount of safety behind the computer screen. And I think that's the dangerous part, right? Is that we are, instead of being quick to listen and slow to speak, we're quick to speak and slow to listen, right? That person with whom we disagree, whether it's at the Thanksgiving dinner table or on the computer, is saying what they say because of something that has happened in their life, right? We may be really quick to proclaim, you don't know what you're talking about because I... But I haven't had the same experiences as the person who made the statement that I may very much disagree with. And there may be a legitimate reason that they have a grievance against any sort of people, right? Somebody who looks different hurt them one time and maybe hurt them in a very bad way, right? Somebody who, there's a real popular thing going around that hashtags are big on Twitter, okay? Hashtags are the little number sign, okay, that used to be pound on your phone, right? Hashtags are where you can put a hashtag and then some sort of topic behind it. And then people can look at that, and then they have big arguments about whatever that topic is. So it might be hashtag, football, hashtag Clemson or something. And then they'll get on there and yell about whether somebody's better than them or whatever, right? Okay, they do it with everything. The thing is that we can get really wrapped up in arguing and fighting and being quick to respond, when what we really need to do is be listening to what the person is saying. And I go back to kids, but this is what it is to be a teacher or to be a college professor, is what you've got to listen to what the person is saying, or what's actually behind what they're saying, not just the words that they say, right? Hey, I'm too dumb to do this. They're not really too dumb to do that, right? But they've had struggles, and maybe somebody didn't help them in the past. And they've been told, you'll never get this, right? You just can't draw. You just can't do math. You can't sing. You can't do this. And they've heard it so many times that now they've internalized it, right? And the tragedy is that somebody who was having a bad day, somebody who was struggling, somebody who was frustrated, has said something that person has taken so much to heart that they've made it part of who they are, right? Our words have power, right? A few weeks ago, we talked about how the tongue has two blades, right? And the things we say with our tongue can hurt. Well, it's the same way with the things we type on our computers. What if we were quick to listen and slow to speak, even on our computers? You see, I think that it's the temptation for me is to get up here and tell you how all these social media things are bad, right? That you should not do any of them. Now, I had to delete Twitter, and I'll tell you why. I had to delete Twitter because during the pandemic, there was so much already going on in the world, right? That was stressful and was depressing and was causing anxiety, that when I turned on my Twitter, what I got was a whole bunch of other things to be anxious and angry and frustrated and worried about, right? Now, 9 out of 10 of those things never came to pass. But one thing that you can do with Twitter is that you can intentionally follow voices that you don't hear normally, right? So, for example, I grew up in a little bitty mountain town and everybody looked like me, okay? So what I tried to do on Twitter was that I'm going to follow black people. I'm going to follow Native Americans. I'm going to follow women. I'm going to follow minority folks so I can hear what their concerns are, right? Because I don't know those things because I haven't lived that experience. And what I found was that a lot of those people, they're just like us, right? They've got worries and concerns, and they get mad, and they jump on Twitter maybe when they shouldn't have jumped on Twitter. And they say the first thing that comes to their mind, which might be, I'm angry, I'm mad, look what this guy is going to do, right? And pretty soon, every day, I had a constant feed of, here's this for me to get mad about. Here's something else for me to worry about. Here's something that's probably not going to happen, but we don't like that guy, so we're going to say it, right? And on and on and on, and pretty much every day, it was like getting a constant diet of like diesel fuel instead of food, right? And pretty soon I was just like this all the time, right? And it wasn't healthy and it wasn't good. And so I had to turn it off. But you can use a tool like this in order to hear the voices of those you haven't heard before, right? And that's a good thing. Right? To listen and not to, and when you hear the voices of people you haven't heard before, you have to resist the temptation to jump on there and tell them how they're wrong, right? Because they may be wrong, okay? Or they may not have the whole picture, but there's something to be gained for us all to hear what other people have to say, right? And to begin to understand that point of view with which we disagree. If we were all able to lower our anger level, we might, just might, be able to make our nation, our world, our the places that we live a little calmer, a little safer, a little more loving. Why does James say not to be quick to anger? because our anger does not produce God's righteousness. All that time when I was mad about what this politician said, and I was mad about what this guy said in Minnesota or California or Africa or a place I've never been, right? I was mad about all these different things that had not much bearing on my everyday life, right? And I was mad. It didn't do anything to change God's justice, did it? I can be mad as all get out about something, and if it's not, if there's really not anything wrong with it, then it's not going to make any difference, right? It's all, in the end, about God's perspective. And that requires us to have humility, to remember that what I think may not be what God thinks, right? And that's tough, because I kind of like to be right all the time. And what I've learned from Twitter is so does everybody else. We all think we're right all the time, and we want to be right all the time. But James says, look, welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save our souls. So what word does Christ have for me today? I think that the tweet version of something that we could put out, well, how does God want us to treat this type of discourse, being able to yell at one another with impunity, is what we were talking about in Sunday school this morning. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you, right? Tweet unto others as you would have them tweet unto you. Right? Fits really nicely in that 120 characters. Easy to remember, might even go on a bumper sticker, right? What if we looked at one another and said, hey, that guy has a story that I need to hear? What if we looked at each other and we said, that lady, she has experiences that I don't have, and I would love to learn from those experiences. Instead of, look at that guy, he didn't know what he was talking about. Look at that lady, what a joke, right? Too often we fall into the latter category. Jesus, though, encourages us to listen and to follow, right? What does he do with Zacchaeus, the little guy up in the tree? I bet he had a lot of tweets that he could have sent. Jesus says, I'm coming to your house, and I'm going to listen to you over dinner. What if we lived that way? Then I think maybe I could get back on Twitter. If I was able to listen without getting angry, if I was able to open my heart and mind to what other people had to say. And I think that could help us in everything that we do, in the church, in our workplaces, in our families, and even around the Thanksgiving dinner table. Amen? Amen. Amen.